Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is writer Elaine Wolff. Wolff is a graduate of New York University. She worked for over 25 years in both New York and California public schools in special education and reading. Her first young adult novel, called Camp, was published in June. It's a mother-daughter coming-of-age novel which also focuses on the subject of bullying. Wolff has become known as the anti-bullying novelist, and her second novel dealing with this same subject, Danny's Mom, will be published this fall. Camp was published by Sky Pony Press, and I'm speaking to Elaine Wolff by phone from her office in Northampton, Massachusetts. Elaine Wolff, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm delighted to be on Out of Bounds, Tish.
Thank you. Well, you know, let's begin with the obvious question. Your novel Camp and your soon-to-be-published novel Danny's Mom focuses on bullying. Why are you so interested in this issue?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Tish, that bullying found me. It wasn't that I went out looking to write bullying stories, but because I wrote what I was hoping would be two compelling novels, one taking place in a girls' sleepaway camp and one taking place in a high school, it was impossible not to write about bullying because I was showing what really happens behind the closed gates and doors of our camps and schools. So bullying found me.
Mm-hmm. Did you witness some of this bullying in your capacity as a, working in the public schools as a teacher?
I'm actually very lucky. I witnessed very little bullying, and I think that's not uncommon for classroom teachers because the classroom is not the main stage for bullies. Bullies really thrive in environments in which there's minimal or no supervision. So the school hallways, the cafeteria, the restrooms, the same, by the way, is true in camps. You know, you'll see bullying much more, of course, when counselors aren't around. So as a classroom teacher and then as a district director of English Language Arts, I didn't directly witness a lot of bullying, but there's an undercurrent of bullying in all environments in which you have groups of teens. And mm-hmm. So we were all aware that it was there, and unfortunately it wasn't addressed as it should have been back then when I was involved in schools, and I'm just so grateful that now it's part of our national dialogue and we're actually doing something about it.
Yeah, I know. And why do you think the subject has suddenly come to light? Because there have been so many violent incidents and unfortunate suicides over this issue.
Yeah. I think that's exactly why. I think bullying became part of our national conversation after the Columbine incident, which was in 1999. Mm-hmm. We started to look at our schools differently. We started to look at gatherings of teens differently. We started to be more aware. It doesn't mean that bullying is worse today. It's just that there's more focus on it, which is a really good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about the differences between bullying in the 1960s when camp takes place, and now, and you know, in 2012, but bullying was always terrible. Bullying was never okay. We just didn't say it. Maybe we didn't know it back then. Mm-hmm. We used to say it's just a stage. You know, kids are mean, and they'll grow out of it. And now, thank goodness, we're smarter, and we know that kids don't grow out of it, that little bullies become big bullies, and that it's a moral imperative to face this issue now and to make sure that our camps and our schools are kinder, gentler places for all kids.
Mm-hmm. And then that's a quite a challenge in this culture that has turned so rough. I mean, we see adults, you know, attacking each other instead of talking about issues, especially in the political arena. So kids don't have very good role models in which to talk lovingly and kindly to each other.
That's absolutely true. And I think that that's, as adults, as educators, as counselors, as parents, as grandparents, it's really important that we set the right example for our kids, and it's really important that we encourage our kids to be part of this dialogue. If we as adults think we can make a difference without involving kids in these conversations, we're absolutely wrong, Tish.
Mm-hmm.
We really need systemic change. That has to be a bottom-up movement, and we have to involve kids in this change, and kids have to learn at a very early age that bullying is never okay.
Yeah.
And adults have to be much more proactive, whether the adults are in a school community, in a camp community, in a scouting community, wherever we are involved with the young people today. I really feel very strongly about this, Tish. It's our moral imperative to do everything we can to
make
our communities kinder, gentler places.
Yeah,
I'm totally committed to doing that.
Yeah, I can tell. Well, let's talk a little bit about your novel, Camp. The protagonist's name is Amy Becker. She's 14. Tell us more.
Yes, Amy is 14 years old, and she is sent off to summer camp, a sleepaway camp in Maine, against her wishes. The fictional camp in my novel Camp is Camp Tackawanda for Girls. Amy really doesn't want to go to camp, despite the fact that she doesn't like summers at home with her German immigrant mother, who's quite harsh. She still doesn't want to go away. Part of the reason she doesn't want to go away is that she has an autistic brother, and she really is the sort of lining between the fabric of her mother and her brother. She tries very hard to protect her brother. But she has no choice, and she's sent off to Camp Tackawanda for Girls, where she's subjected to a humiliating initiation and to relentless bullying by the ringleader of the senior campers. What makes her summer even worse is that family secrets about Amy's mother's past begin to come out, and that sets in motion a tragic event that does change Amy and her family forever.
Yeah. Well, to tell us about the bully at this camp. Her name is Rory. And describe her for us. We never really get to know why she's like this until, you know, intimated through the novel.
Yes, and I hope that you, as you say, it's intimated through the novel. I don't want to tell your listeners too much because, of course, I do want them to read the book.
Absolutely.
But there is a section in the novel where you do find out a bit about Rory's background and the abuse that she endures at home. And it's no surprise that abused children are often the abusers themselves. You know, bullying is a power play. And kids who feel powerless in one situation will try to feel powerful in another, and bullying is a way in which they can feel really powerful. When Rory's voice came to me, it was very interesting. I was writing a scene in which Amy is on the bus heading from New York to Camp Tackawanda for Girls in Maine, and there's this really awful, mean girl on the bus, and her voice just came screaming through my head. It actually came roaring through my head, which is one of the reasons I called her Rory, because she just roared. And I didn't set out to put the mean girl, the alpha girl, on the bus, but because as a writer I want to write realistic scenes, I want everything I write to ring true, there was, of course, this mean girl on the bus, and she targets Amy immediately because a new girl is such an easy target. Mm-hmm. And a new girl like Amy, who shows up at the bus not in her Saturday going to the movies clothes, but in her camp uniform because she thinks that's what she's supposed to be wearing that day, is the perfect target for a mean girl. Rory is the ultimate mean girl. And once she showed up on the bus, Tish, I could not silence her voice.
Yeah.
She just roared her way through this story.
She's very realistic. But I did want to point out, Elaine, that not all abused kids become bullies. And I just
wanted to make
that clear.
Oh, that's absolutely true, and I'm glad you pointed that out. No, that's a very good point. Certainly not all abused kids become bullies. And as I said, I'm so glad. If I misstated that, I'm so glad you picked it up.
No, I don't think you misstated it, but I think a lot of people might think that's the case if they were to just read your book and realize that Rory has been, you know, it has been intimated that she's been abused. Yeah.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. Clearly not all abused kids become abusers themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But for Rory, you asked me about the character Rory.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big motivating factor in her becoming this kind of outrageously mean kid. And because of the abuse that she feels at home, and my readers will, as you say, it's intimated in the story, I hope my readers understand that, that there are reasons that bullies become bullies.
Oh, absolutely. And it's clear in your book. I found it very clear.
I'm so glad. And it's also very important, again, going back to our dialogue about bullying, that when we work with kids, we not only give all the support that the kids who are bullied need to survive in situations in which they find themselves, but we also need to give some support and help to the bullies themselves, because, as I said, little bullies do often grow up to be big bullies.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to focus not only on the victims, but on the victims and the bullies.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Now, we talked about the fact that bullying has become a major topic here in contemporary culture. And you mentioned that you set your novel in the early 1960s. Tell us why. Why didn't you set it in a contemporary setting?
It's interesting that you ask that question, Tish. I've been asked that question several times. There's a very easy answer to that. I am a woman in my 60s, and I went to summer camp in the 1960s, and my mother was a German immigrant. Unfortunately, she passed away many, many years ago. So I was writing from my experience. Camp is totally fiction. But as a writer, I was drawing on my experiences and my knowledge in order to make this book real. And I think if I were to set a story in a girls' summer camp in 2010, let's say, or 2005, I would have to spend an awful lot of time in a girls' summer camp to really get it right.
Mm.
And I don't have the time to do that right now.
You'd also have to have a lot of high-tech stuff going on, too, which could become tedious, you know, bullying via text
exactly.
message.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that has brought bullying into our national dialogue, is that it used to be that when you got home from school or at the end of the summer, when you came home from summer camp, the bullying would stop. So at least you had some safe space, a haven in which you weren't bombarded by meanness. And unfortunately for kids today, with texting and sexting and constant online communication, there's really no way for kids to get away from it today.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting that it took you a while for Camp to be published, because, you know, you mentioned that just a few years ago, publishers thought bullying was too small a story.
Yes, it was only recently that publishers are really picking up on this. I wrote Camp quite a long time ago, and I was delighted that I attracted the attention of a very reputable New York City agent, and she loved the manuscript and said, oh, we're going to get this out right away. And what we heard from editors just made me so sad, because so many editors love the story, love the characters, love the writing. But many of them said, you know, bullying is just too small a story. I don't think we'll have enough readers to make this profitable right now. So I put Camp on the back burner. I moved on to other things. I did some shorter pieces. And it was only a couple of years ago that I called my agent and said, look, every day I pick up the newspaper and bullying is front and center. How about we try my novel Camp again? And she was all too happy to do it, and it was bought immediately.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that this subject had to come into the fore this way, but I'm glad that you got this book published.
Well, thank
it's quite
you.
Powerful. Now, let's talk a little bit about bullies themselves, what we know about them in the culture. That, you know, they pick on people based on look, social status, sexual orientation, or at least perceived sexual orientation. Talk about this. They pick on
sure.
people who don't fit in.
Yes. Because people who appear to be different from us are easy targets. You talked about sexual orientation and bullying. In my next novel, Danny's Mom, which is coming out November 1st, it's Arcade Publishing is putting that book out. The bully in Danny's Mom really focuses on sexual orientation, and focuses not only on the sexual orientation or the perceived sexual orientation of students in the high school where Danny's mom takes place. The bully in that book also focuses on the sexual orientation or the perceived sexual orientation of staff members in the school, and creates quite an explosion in the high school.
If you're just joining us, my guest is novelist Elaine Wolff. We're talking about her book, Camp, and her new book that's coming out in November called Danny's Mom. Both these books focus on bullying. Now, Elaine, talk to us more about the portrait of the bully. I find it so strange that in this country we believe so much on individuality and individualism, and yet bullies love to make fun of and attack people who are different.
I think so much of it. And again, Tish, I do want to put out there, as I always do when people ask me this, that I am not a therapist. I'm not a trained bullying expert. I am simply a novelist who chose to set her stories in camps and schools, which is why bullying is such a big theme in my work. That said, I think that because bullying is a power play, a bully has to feel powerful, and the way to feel powerful and the way to gather a huge, massive power around you is to find the easiest target. And unfortunately, in our society where we pay so much attention to appearances, it's so easy for bullies and the gangs that bullies generate mm-hmm. to really focus on kids who look different.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any kind of strategy that you could talk about for kids who are being bullying? Is it best to walk away, or is it best to try to grab an adult? But adults don't always believe you, you know.
Yeah, adults don't always believe you, which is very sad. In fact, what adults generally, I shouldn't say generally, and I'm sorry for that. I'm just sort of on a mission here, Tish. But often adults in our schools and in our camps often will turn their backs on the victims and ignore the bullies because it's easier. It's just easier. And so many times we hear people who work in schools, some school administrators say, oh, well, that couldn't possibly happen in my school.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for many years in high schools and middle schools. And although I always went to bat for all the kids, it wasn't always easy to get administrators to believe that there were any problems at all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the bully in camp, Rory, is so intimidating, too. I mean, she knows how to do that act.
Oh, yes.
You know, when the adults are around, she acts like this absolutely sweet, well-adjusted, really smart girl who's helping to keep things in control for the adults.
Yes, I think often really good, effective bullies are incredibly bright people,
mm-hmm.
and they know when to turn it on and when to turn it off, and they're very instinctively aware of where their safe spaces are. So in camp, Rory instinctively knows when she can threaten Amy and when she has to back off. It's just instinct for her.
Mm-hmm.
The same, you'll find the same kind of dynamic in Danny's Mom, my next novel, where bullying adolescent in that book also is incredibly bright when it comes to knowing when she's being watched. You were asking before what kids can do, and I think it's really important just to lay out a few things. First of all, I really hope that as adults we do everything we can to create safe spaces for kids, safe relationships for kids, so that they feel okay about coming to us and telling us what's going on. And the first step for a kid who's being bullied is really to tell the people that he or she feels safest with. I hope that kids who are bullied tell their parents. I hope they tell their teachers. I hope they tell their counselors. Often we find that doesn't happen. A lot of bullies feel so threatened and are often told, if you tell anybody, I'll make it worse. So you have to, you know, a strong enough teen will be able to speak up. Often kids are not able to speak up. So I think as adults in school communities and camp communities, we really have an obligation to have very fine radar about this. And if we see kids whose behavior changes, as parents too, if we see kids whose behavior starts to change, I think we have to ask what's going on. I think we have to create a safe space for conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think parents have to be willing to go to the school administrators, to go to the camp directors if they perceive a problem without being intimidated. There's often a power play, as I'm sure you well know, that goes on between camp owners or school administrators and parents. There's sort of this hierarchy,
mm-hmm.
and oftentimes parents are hesitant to speak up. And I think, especially today with bullying on our national radar, the good news is that more parents are willing to speak up. I think it's important when you send your child to camp that you ask questions before you sign on the dotted line. And I think one of the questions parents today should ask, need to ask, is what are you doing in your camp about bullying? What is your anti-bullying policy? A lot of camps today have them in place, and a lot of camps today are really turning this bullying problem around and doing a great job of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think in schools, too, parents are entitled to know what the policy is in school, what happens when a child is bullied, what is the line of command. And I think if parents don't get satisfaction from a teacher or a guidance counselor or a school administrator, then they go to the superintendent. And I think parents also should not hesitate to try to get outside help, to find a counselor in your area who's really knowledgeable about this. I think bullying is too hard for kids to go through without support.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think we've all learned that lately.
You know what I wanted to ask you, Elaine, too, before we do run out of time? What are you hoping will happen from your book? Are you hoping that the schools might start having a dialogue, you know, at assemblies that talk about this issue and having an open dialogue instead of just reacting to it, having
Absolutely. Kids
talk about it, maybe do plays about it?
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked that question, Tish. I am actually being contacted by quite a few schools, and I know that I'll be hearing from more districts as soon as the school year begins. Many districts are now wanting to bring camp into classrooms. It's appropriate only for grades 8 and up.
Mm-hmm.
But many, many high schools will be bringing camp into classrooms. We'll be putting it on recommended reading or ancillary reading lists. And my hope, in answer to your question, is that camp and eventually Danny's mom will be used as springboards to conversations so that in concert with the professionals in our communities, we can keep this conversation going long enough to really make a difference
mm-hmm.
and make our schools and camps kinder, gentler places.
Yeah. Also, I wondered what kind of reception you're getting from this book. You must go around and give readings and perhaps talks.
Oh, yes.
Are you getting people coming up to you and ideas are brewing from this?
So much so. And it's so exciting to me is that my readers have ranged in age from 12 to 94. I kid you not, I'm not making that up. When my agent submitted the manuscript that became Camp, she submitted it as a young adult novel, and the publisher who bought it is a publisher who does Sky Pony Press. They do children's middle grade and young adult novels. And so it's out as a young adult novel. That said, it has tremendous crossover appeal. So, in fact, I was just yesterday contacted by an assisted living facility in Massachusetts asking if I would come and speak with their residents.
Mm.
They would like their residents to read Camp and have a discussion. I was also contacted by a book club of senior citizens who range in age from 70 to, I believe, 89, she told me. 15 women who have a book club who have been meeting monthly for decades. One of the women in that group read Camp, and it's now their book club selection. So you ask about the reception this book is receiving. It is totally blowing me away.
Oh, that's great.
And making me so happy. And another thing that happened, Tish, that I just must share with you is that the Holocaust Memorial and Tolerance Center of Nassau County on Long Island chose Camp as its July book of the month.
Oh, that's great.
I was so honored when I heard that. The best thing is that readers are contacting me, and I love to hear from my readers. And some of them are saying things like, I loved your book. Some of them are saying, your book made me think about so many things. Some of them are saying, please talk to my book club. Some of them are saying, your book was wonderful, but so hard for me to read because I have buried these memories of having been bullied for so long, and your book just stirred up so much for me.
Oh, that's...
And when I hear that, I know I got it right, so that's a good thing.
And you know, just the whole concept of bullying can open up doors to... I can see why some of the elderly population, because of elder abuse, would, you know, the conversation would carry on in ribbons from that. Subject of bullying, that's really interesting. You've opened up a Pandora's box, Elaine.
I think so, and as I said, Tish, it was not my intention. My intention was just to write a compelling story and to be lucky enough to attract the attention of a good literary agent and a good publisher. The bonus for me is that my books, Camp and Danny's Mom, are opening up the doors to these conversations that I truly believe will make our communities safer, better places. So what a blessing that my dream of being a published writer is realized. But more than that, and what's so exciting to me, is that my books are now making a difference. And and sometimes I just can't believe it, that I still, at this stage, have the opportunity to make a difference.
Yeah, that's really great. Now, we do have just a couple minutes left. Give us some contact information. Are there any anti-bullying initiatives nationally that people can get involved in?
Well, there's so much right now on the Internet. Anybody who Googles anti-bullying will find a host of things. There are some resources on my website. It's author Elaine Wolf. That's author, ElaineWolf.com. And as I said, one of the things on my website is a listing of some anti-bullying resources. So I have links, for instance, to the Bully Project, to the Born This Way Foundation, to Teaching Tolerance, which is a project of the Southern Poverty Law Center. They have some wonderful information and programs.
Mm-hmm.
Operation Respect is another good program. I have a link to the Matthew Shepard Foundation, to the Trevor Project, to Project Bully Free Zone. So there's lots of good starters on my website. That's just a place to start.
Oh, that's great.
There's just so much more. And the fact that we're having this conversation, Tish, just means that we have the ability to make substantive changes in our communities. And that's what it's all about for me as a writer, as a woman, as a mother, as a grandmother. We all want our kids, our grandchildren, to be in nurturing, embracing environments, and I really do believe it's our obligation.
Mm-hmm. We are out of time. Elaine Wolf, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck. Thank you so much for writing these books.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Tish. Thanks for having me on.
And again, the book we have been discussing is called Camp. It's by Elaine Wolf. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.